thy name of God be glorified. God give me an opportunity to stand here with his words. I'm saying the dialogue again. Please forgive me if I make any grammatical error. And please pray for me. When I searched a topic, God gave me a topic. Initially, I thought that I can finish within 15 minutes. Then I go through deeply. I can understand that. I cannot finish with two hours. But I'm not going to take 2 hours. But within the time limit, I can remind something about four decisions and grace of God. In this Bible, there is only two books which are written in women's name, that is Esther and Ruth. We know that Esther is a Jew, but Ruth is a Gentile lady from Moab. In those two books, we can see a common thing, that is a sovereignty of the Lord. Today we think about Ruth. It has mentioned about the Lord for 25 times in this book. Not only that, many of the teaching in the New Testament of the Bible can see in a shadow form in this book. We can see a Redeemer in this book. Also, the Gentile lady got redeemed. The deep love and the grace, everything is included in this book. We can read Ruth chapter 1 verse 1 to 22. Tommy, brother, could you help me to read, please?
Ruth chapter 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judea, went to dwell in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, the name of his wife was Naomi, and the names of their two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephraimites of Bethlehem, Judea. And they went to the country of Moab and remained there. Then Abimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. Now they took wives from Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died. So the women survived her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughter-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab that the Lord had visited his people by giving them bread. Therefore she went out from the place where she was, and her two daughter-in-laws and four, and they went on their way to return to the land of Judea. Naomi said to her two daughter-in-laws, "Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord dealt kindly with you, as you have dealt with the dead of and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." So she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "Surely we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there still sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I should say, I have hope, if I should have a husband tonight and should also bear sons, would you wait for them till they were grown? Would you restrain yourselves from having husbands? No, my daughters. For it grieves me very much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "Look, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, entreat me not to leave you or to turn back from following after you. For wherever you go, I will go, and wherever you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if anything but death parts you and me. When she saw that she was determined to her, she stopped speaking to her, but the two of them went until they came to Bethlehem. And it happened when they had come to Bethlehem that all the city was excited because of them. And the woman said, is this Naomi? But she said to them, do not call me Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord has brought me home empty. Why do you call me Naomi, since the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me? So Naomi returned and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter, and with her, who returned from the country of Moab. Now they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of barley harvest.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, brother. In this chapter, we can see different decisions of four persons are mentioned here. Decision making, it's important in everyone's life. The way of life depending on our decision. The God gave us freedom and ability to take our own decision. And He didn't create us as a robot. Why? Because He wants us to love Him from the bottom of our heart without decision. We know that Abraham made a decision in faith and he became the father of faith. Here we see Elimelech took a decision with his family for survival of his family and future of his children. He decided to move to Moab with his family. But later on, they suffered the consequences of the decision. We have no control over the consequences of our decision. Example, we can take a decision to jump from a high place, but we have to go through the after effect of our decision. We can look at Psalms 60 verse 8. Psalms 60 verse 8. That's telling about Moab. Psalms 60 verse 8. It's telling that Moab is my washboard. In ancient times, there was no wash basin. People were using washboard to clean their plates and hands after eating. Elimelech and Naomi were moved to Bethlehem to Moab. The meaning of it, Bethlehem, is the house of bread. Actually, they were moved from house of bread to washboard. What a strange decision they took. All the things in the washboard are of waste, isn't it? And Moab represent this world. Everything we have in this world except what we have received by grace is waste. 1 John 2 verse 17, it says that, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doth the will of God abideth forever. Actually, they went to Moab, forgot the God who sustained him even in the times of famine. They forgot the great God who feed their forefathers with manna and meat in the wilderness. We can look in verse 6. We can see the Lord has visited his people and given them bread. What a wonderful God we have. Elimelech and Naomi's decision was failure, because the first point, when famine struck, they gave their priority to prosperity of their family and the future of their children. Finding it's impossible to support his family in Bethlehem, so they traveled to Moab. They didn't ask God about their plan. They did not rely on God to make the decision. We must put God first in our lives. Usually, we will tell to God after making a decision ourselves. But we should give honor, respect, and priority to God in our lives. When giving that the decision which we made in the light of divine will be a good decision. The decision they made was failure, because they only thought their physical needs, and they didn't think of their spiritual needs. When the material things interfere with the spiritual life, our decision are likely to fail. And second point, that they made their decision against God's commandments. Moab was a not suitable place for God's people to go. In Deuteronomy chapter 23 verse 3, it's telling that an Ammonite or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of the Lord ever. They travel against the God's commandment. The decision which are made against God's will never bring prosperity. Psalms 119 verse 4, it's telling that thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. God gave his words in order to obey it. Moses says like this in Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 26. We can turn Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 26. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verse 26. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. Be turned aside out the way which I command you this day, to go after other God which ye have not known. Elimelech was aware of God's commandment. A Jew learned that from his childhood onwards. Elimelech forgot the Lord's great work for his great grandfather in the wilderness. He disobeyed God's word and went to Moab. And the third point is that they didn't give priority to the Lord's will. God has a plan in our life. When we give priority to the Lord's will, he will please on us and will give all the blessings. Elimelech and Naomi's decision were failure. Elimelech died. After that, their children also died in Moab. We can look at second decision. That is Naomi's decision. The decision to return to Bethlehem. We can look at verse 6. Ruth chapter 1 verse 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Her mind is set one thing: I will go back. We have an option to come back from the failure of our life, from the emptiness of our life. Naomi lost everything. But in her loss, she made a decision. to go back, her life became blessing. On the returning, God was with her. Her end of life was blessed. When she decided to return, she repented on her past. She said to the people in Bethlehem, she lost everything. Call her not Naomi, but Mara. But God gave her a new beginning. If we coming back with confessing our sin, confessing our failure and emptiness, surely God will give a new beginning. Elimelech's decision led to the loss of everything, but Naomi's decision led to hope and happiness. There is a great God who can lift us up from any depth if we return. Naomi had two daughters-in-law, Orpah and Ruth. When Naomi decided to go back, Orpah and Ruth also decided to go back with her. But Orpah didn't stick on her decision. She kissed her mother-in-law and went back to Moab. She missed the blessings. She missed the promised land and inheritance. And her story in this book is over. The decision of Orpah is a lesson for our Christian life. In many situations, we make a decision emotionally and tell to God, but often we are not able to stick on it. Orpah hugged and kissed her mother-in-law and went back. But we can see a blessed decision in Ruth. She remained firm in her decision and in her commitment. We can read like this: Ruth clave unto Naomi. We know the Lord and decide to live with Him. But when the life's up and downs come, are we the one who turn away or cleave to God? We can think ourselves. We can look at verse 16. Verse 16, it's telling that, "For whither thou goest, I will go." Here we can see the shadow of a Christian believer in Ruth. Wherever you go, I will go there. That means I will walk you in your footprint. Let us follow our Lord sincerely. And second thing, where you lodges, I will lodge there. Here she is telling that, I want to be united with you. That means if you are sad, I am also sad. If you have poverty, I have also poverty. I will stand with you no matter what your situation is. A believer has to make a decision when he accepts the discipleship of God. I will stand for the Lord no matter what the situation comes. May the Lord give us the grace to follow it in our life. And third thing, thy people shall be my people. This mindset is very necessary for the Christian believer. When we are committed to God, the fellowship with God's people is essential for us. If we have a good relationship with God, we would have a fellowship and commitment with God's people also. Apostle John says that everyone who is born of God loves the one who is born of God. Ruth's commitment was very deep. We read Apostle Paul's transformation from Saul in Acts 9 verse 26. We can look at Acts 9 verse 26. Acts 9 verse 26. And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples. When he got the transformation, he wanted to join with the disciples. Paul is a man who once received approval from authority to persecute the disciples. But when he decided to love the Lord, he wanted to join the God's people. And fourth thing is that, Thy God, my God. The Ruth relationship with Naomi was firm because their relationship came with God. A basis for their relationship came from the fact that both of them were connected to God. A family relationship is like that. When a man and woman beginning their family life in relationship with God, their family life will be kept intact even if there are crises between them, because the ruler of both of them is the great God sitting on the throne above. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 12 telling that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. If our relationship is together with God, the relationship will be strong enough. We can look at verse 17. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. It was a commitment and agreement all through her life. It's not a temporary agreement. Ruth telling that, I will be with you till the end of my life. Isn't that the decision similar to one which we made the relation to our God? We can examine ourselves. We can look at, as a result, when Ruth reached at Bethlehem, she received a great testimony. Boaz heard something about Ruth. We can turn to chapter 2, verse 11. Boaz heard something about Ruth. And Boaz answered and said unto her, I hath fully been assured me, all thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father, thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto the people which thou knewest not heretofore. What a great testimony! It is a role model of us. If we live our Christian life with the divine fellowship, we can maintain a blessed testimony in this world. That will be a blessing to God's people and God's kingdom. We can see that God, knowing her needs and preparing a blessed relationship for her there. Her decision helped her to be added on to the generation of our Lord Jesus Christ. One day, we made a decision. Because of that, we are now the Son of God. and the daughters of God. This book ends with a harvest. When Naomi comes back to Bethlehem and says, "You should call me Mara, not Naomi." We know that Mara means bitterness, but God changed her bitterness to gladness. God turned her state to sorrow into an experience of joy. Making good decision in relationship with God is very necessary. If we stick with that decision, God will bless us. Are we still living the Christian life as we began? When we started our Christian life, we made many decisions in our life. Do we still keep them? Let us look ourselves. When we look at chapter 2, we can see how wonderful is God's grace. Ruth reached Boaz's field for grain. We know that Boaz is a kinsman of Elimelech. That means the kinsman of her father-in-law. Actually, Ruth made a plan. Ruth not made a plan and come to this field. She didn't inquire of any kinsman nearby. She didn't seek where the one who show mercy for her. One field she joined was the field of kinsman Boaz. Often we say by luck, but for a believer it's not by luck, but by grace she reached there. She got grace. It is a sovereign grace. We can read like this: Naomi and Ruth, they reached in Bethlehem the harvest time. Ruth reached the field of kinsman Boaz. Usually the owner of the field wouldn't be in the field always. But the reason why Boaz came to the field and made attention to the woman, that is a sovereign grace of God. God moved all these things and brought them closer. God will show grace to all whom he sees to fit to show it. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. We can turn 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. It's written like this: "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." God's plan that beyond our imagination. This is a sovereign grace. But also this is a seeking grace. We can look at chapter 2 verse 4. Achille brother, could you help me to read chapter 2 verse 4 to 8.
"And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, Jehovah be with you. And they answered him, Jehovah bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, Whose answer is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, It is the Moabite damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And she said, Let me glean, I pray you, and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now, save that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither pass from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens."
Thank you, brother. We can see this grace coming to her. Ruth didn't go to there. Boaz came from Bethlehem and made attention and started talking to her. The children of God who have come this faith should praise God many times, because we did not find this God. He came for us, seeking us. He loved us first. Ephesians 2 verse 4 says that, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." We usually sing that, "Amazing grace." How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. One day, the God came to see me, a sinner. God found us. Boaz not only saw Ruth, but treated her with kindness and gave her everything she needed without asking. Through Boaz, we can see the great God, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power of the that worketh in us. It is not only sovereign grace and seeking grace, also it is the saving grace or redeeming grace. We know that Moab is a cursed place. Although she left Moab, she remained cursed. She needed a redeemer to redeem her. We can look at Leviticus 21 verse 48 and 49. Leviticus 25 verse 48 and 49. It's read like this: "After that he is sold, he may be redeemed again. One of his brethren may redeem him, either his uncle or his uncle's son may redeem him, or any that is nigh of kin unto him of his family may redeem him, or if he able, he may redeem himself." If she want to redeem herself, she must be able. We know that she was incapable of redeeming herself. Ruth is a shadow of the human race. She cannot save herself. In that situation, the kin may redeem her. Boaz became a redeemer for Ruth, who was in needed redemption and unable to redeem herself, like we see in Leviticus. There is some criteria for a redeemer. That is, he must be able to redeem. He must be wealthy, that means he must be rich. He also need a mind to redeem. He must be a kin. Here Boaz is a kinsman of her. He is rich and capable to redeem herself. He has the will to redeem her. A good picture of redemption. This shows us that we were in this morning, we read in chapter Isaiah that we were estranged from God. We were cursed. Apostle Paul says that we were under curse. There should be a kinsman to redeem us in that situation. That's why God sent his begotten Son. God sent his begotten Son to this earth. Christ Jesus became our kinsman as he became fully human, a complete man. Was he rich? We can look at 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. He was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. But we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and spot. As the Lord Jesus walking, a leper cried out him, saying far away, that, Master, if you are willing, you can clean me. The Lord Jesus responds, there is beautifully recorded by Mark. The Lord Jesus touched the leper and said, I will be thou clean. He was healed. There was no need to touch the leper. If he command, the man will be healed. We know that no one in the Jewish tradition would touch a leper, because touching a leper would make him unclean. But Jesus has good heart. The Lord Jesus touched the leper and healed him. I will be thou clean. This grace is the grace that redeeming us. We would not be saved ourselves and not be reconciled to God. But God will pay a price to redeem us. That is why the blessed apostle said in the second chapter of Ephesians, by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not yourself. It's a gift of God. Through Boaz, Ruth received God's saving grace. We can look at chapter 2, verse 8. Chapter 2, verse 8. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go in to glean in another field. Neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maiden. What see here is the satisfying grace of God. The shadow of this story, God is telling us that in this grace we have everything to satisfy our lives. Psalms 103 verse 5, David saying that he satisfieth thy mouth with good things. Those who walk in the ways of the world are not satisfied. But the Lord says to the Samaritan woman, whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never thirst. Lord gives satisfaction. It's a grace. It's a securing grace also. We can look at 2 verse 15. And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not, and let fall also some of the handful of purpose for her, and leave them, and she may glean them, and rebuke her not. It's a securing grace. Here we can see, before anything happened, told to the young man not to touch her. Here we see another character of a good redeemer. I will protect you till the end of my life. We have a good Savior who protects us in all our journey of life. Psalms 121 and verse 4 says that, "Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is my keeper." We can see in this book a beautiful scene that Ruth was redeemed by Boaz, made her Boaz's wife, and protected her throughout the life. The Lord bought us, made us member of His church. That is His bride. But shadow of this story reminds us that a beautiful day will come to bring us His home. That one day we will be with Him. Let's look forward to that with hope. May the God give us grace for that. I'm just concluding my topic here. Before closing that, we can sing a song number together. We can sing a song, song number 9. That's Amazing Grace.